Good morning. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
You know what I love? Besides Jesus, I love the rustling of God's people. When you guys are coming in and you're visiting, you're stirring. I love that. I ran across this scripture that as I'm preparing for this Easter Sunday. Now, Apostle Paul is talking to the church in Corinth, and they're debating this whole idea of resurrection. And I want to read this. If it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that He raised Christ from the dead. But He did not raise Him if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. There's good news coming. Hang with me. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are all people most to be pitied. Here's the good news. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. We come here today not just, you know, not because it's just because it's Easter and not because I wanted to try on my new tie. You know, you like the tie? Don't get used to it. I told Robert a while ago, unless I'm burying or marrying or Easter, this stays in the closet. But we come here because Jesus is alive. Yes?
Yes.
We celebrate that today. I just pray that that the spirit of joy would well up in us today, and it would not just be for today, but it would carry on with us. I want to welcome our live stream audience as well. Hope that you feel the presence of Christ in your home as well. So let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Well up in us. We thank you that the tomb is empty. It wasn't just empty that morning, it's empty today. We thank you that we serve a risen, alive Savior. We thank you that you have sent your Spirit. Now, would you, Lord, would you glorify yourself today in this place? Thank you for those that have come. I pray blessings. I know there's many families here, God. I pray blessing on each family, each person represented here today. May you exalt yourself. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I invite you to stand if you're able as we worship.
Good morning, church. Let's fill this place with praise for the one who brought us out of death. Back alive through the power of His Holy Spirit.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the polar with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder, the King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. Free, oh Jesus.
more.
Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who rules the nations with truth and justice? Shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross.
There's only one worthy. Revelation tells us that Jesus Christ alone is worthy to open the scroll. For there's one who has died for you and one who has risen from the dead, and that's Jesus. Let's sing out to him and tell him he alone is worthy.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. I sing, oh, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Oh, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Let's sing about the victory that Christ has won.
Well, I heard an old, old story of how a Savior came from glory. How he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. And I heard about his groaning of his precious blood's atonement. Sins and I won the victory. Well, oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. And he loved me ere I knew him. the gold beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing and the old redemption story and some sweet day I sing up there the song of
a round of applause this morning, and he is here in this place. Amen. I love the shouts of praise. You may be seated. And children, at this time we're going to invite y'all to come on forward for a children's message.
Everybody,
here,
come on in here so you can see. Will, come on out here. Y'all scoot out here a little bit so y'all can see. Well, you can't see. I got Easter eggs over here. All right, sit right there, Tammy.
Perfect.
All right, how's everybody this morning? Those are big Easter eggs. You're absolutely right. They're tiny. Did y'all have? Yeah. Do you get stuff? All right. So I am so excited. Are y'all excited about today?
Yes.
Why are we excited today?
We got Easter.
That's right. It is Easter, and we have come to celebrate something. What did we come to celebrate?
Jesus.
What? Jesus rose from the dead, and we celebrate that Jesus died on that cross for each one of us, and the tomb was empty. Jesus lives today, doesn't he? Are y'all excited about that?
Yeah.
So, as you can see, as several people have commented, we've got my giant Easter basket. I've got the giant Easter basket here, and we have some eggs, and it's going to help us know the Easter story. Do y'all know the whole Easter story? Or you know some of it?
I bet
you're going to know everything that we're going to talk about. I bet you've heard about it. You've seen the movie? So, okay. So, well, I'm glad. All right. So I'm going to pull out my first egg. And it's the pink egg. Let me see. Okay. It has a cross. That's right. Jesus carried his cross that day. Up to Calvary, didn't he? He willingly and obediently carried this cross, knowing what was going to happen. He loves us so much that he was willing to do this for each one of us. Isn't that amazing? Yes. All right.
I'm going to open up the second egg. And in our second egg,
just a minute.
Have three nails. Jesus died on the cross, and they put two nails, one in each hand and one in his feet. Can you imagine the pain he suffered? He suffered on the cross for us, for our sins. So we have to remember that Jesus did something very, very special and important for each and every one of us.
So the third egg, this one's kind of heavy. Okay, the third egg, what do you think maybe? What?
A stone.
A stone? You're right. It's a stone. It is a stone. It's a rock. Okay, it's a rock. Rock, stone, so, you know, the Bible tells us that after Jesus died, they placed his body in a tomb, and then they rolled this huge stone in front of the tomb. And that stone was heavy. You couldn't just do it. You couldn't do it one person. It took many people to roll it. Yes, they rolled the stone in front of that tomb. But on Sunday morning, two women went to the tomb. And do you know where that stone was at? Right, it was rolled away. The tomb was open. The stone reminds us that nothing could keep Jesus in the grave. Okay.
And our fourth egg, can you guess what's in it? It is empty. When Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb to see Jesus and take care of his body, there was no body to take care of. It was empty. I'm going to read to you what the angel said to Mary, to the women, and it's out of Matthew. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead. Jesus is alive today."
Amen, amen. Jesus, amen. Let's celebrate that, you know. So Jesus took up his cross. They nailed him to the cross. They put him in a tomb with a stone in front of it. But nothing could keep him there because God opened that tomb and Jesus lives today. Are you excited that Jesus lives today and that we are celebrating that today?
Yeah.
Do we just celebrate today? We celebrate every day. We need to remember God loves us so much that he sent his son, Jesus, just for each one of us to die on that cross, but he had a plan for Jesus to live today. The tomb is empty, and we celebrate that today. Are y'all excited that we celebrate the tomb is empty?
Yeah.
Yes. All right.
Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you so very much for sending Jesus. Thank you for sending him to take away our sins. He died on the cross because he loves us, and he cares for us, and he wants us to live eternally with him and his Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. All right, let's go this way. All right, y'all ready? All right. Oh, you do have new shoes. Yeah, okay.
Anybody want to tell your children bye before they exit the room? Anybody? Well, good morning. Church, Jesus is alive. Amen. Amen. Man, that's incredibly good news. Because he's alive, we can have life. Because I said this in the early service, because he's alive, we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. All of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is available for us. That's just incredibly good news. Once again, for those of you worshiping online, God bless you. I pray you feel his presence in your homes. If you want to register your attendance through the app, you can do that. Also, you can look in your bulletin about some upcoming events. So be sure to check those out. We have a few things coming up. I know we have a lot of guests this morning. I want to recognize a guest that we've had an opportunity to love on for a little while. Margaret and Domingo are with us this morning. We've had the opportunity to just love on them during a difficult time for them. You guys, are you comfortable coming up? I did ask for permission to do this, by the way. So, Margaret's going through a cancer battle, cancer struggle. As I've shared, they lost their home about a month and a half ago and lost an adult son in the fire. And they come to worship with us this morning. So.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much. You want to say anything about it? See if I can spit it.
Well, I appreciate everything that y'all done for us, especially the ladies that come and feed us, you know, supper all the time. And y'all, Billy and Kitty and Cheryl,
Cindy,
and they've been so awesome to us. And we appreciate everything y'all's done for us, including all of y'all people to come out here. And I'm a little nervous. Yeah.
Well, you didn't know you were going to be speaking this morning,
no,
so
sir.
I would be too. Well, we love you guys.
And
the only reason
that
we can love y'all is because Jesus is alive.
Yes, sir.
He lives in us. That way we can mm-hmm. share that love to you guys.
Yes.
You know, we would love to pray with y'all. Or over y'all. Can we do that?
Yes, sir, you can.
Do y'all mind stepping down front? And if you want to come and lay hands on this couple while I pray, just feel the freedom to do that. Well, Domingo and Margaret, Jesus has not forgotten y'all. Loves y'all deeply. And Father, I just thank you for the opportunities to love on your behalf. I thank you for bringing Margaret and Domingo into our lives for such a time as this. And Lord, you've been so, so good to this couple, and they realize that even in the midst of struggle. And Lord, I just pray just a supernatural touch for them. Jesus, would you come and touch Margaret's body? Lord, I just pray for healing to flow in her body. I pray that her spirit is revived. Lord, I pray for that renewal to be evident day after day after day in her heart. Lord, I pray for encouragement for her. And Lord, the days that she doesn't feel good, I just pray that something spring up in her where she has strength, she has joy. I pray you bless her. I lift up Domingo to you as he travels back and forth to work. And Lord, I pray blessings over his travels on the road. Lord, I pray continued favor for him everywhere he walks, everywhere he travels. Lord, I just thank you for providing a new home for them, Lord. You're just so good to do that for this family. And Lord, through this time of great tragedy, great loss, I just pray that you be their comforter. Be his comforter. I'll touch them deeply. Lord, use them for your glory. And Lord, once again, I thank you for our paths crossing. Lord, I'm grateful that we all get to spend eternity together with Domingo and Margaret. Because Jesus, you are alive. I'll just bless them. Bless their friends that came with them this morning as well, Lord. And Lord, as we continue to reach out in love, show us how we can do that better. Help us not to be selfish in the love that we have in regard to not giving that away when you want us to give that away. How else are they people going to know that they're loved unless you do it through your people? So give us courage, give us boldness, and bless our good friends, Margaret and Domingo. And Lord, we thank you for opportunities to pray, and we pray the prayer that you, Jesus, taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. I want to remind you that after the service, we will have some people up front to pray. If you have a need, please seek one of these prayer warriors out. Don't leave this place this morning if you need a touch from the Lord. Also, we'll receive our offering at this time. If you want to bring one forward, you can, or you can give electronically. God bless.
and I search the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise, treasures of faith are never enough.
Service that there's one day a year where I don't pick what I wear, and that's today. Everything I have on is brand new, and I probably would not have chose any of this for myself. These pants are like Gap pants, and this is a color I don't wear. I think it's called salmon. And normally, I'm just going to confess something, okay? I have two pairs of jeans, and I have two shirts I bought from Sam's. And I'll alternate them so that y'all don't think I'm weird by wearing the same thing every week. But if you left it up to me, I'd just wear the same thing every week. I'd be happier that way. And you're thinking, does he have any point to this? And I think that we get attached to the things of this world. And I think we take our identity in the things that we have. I think we place our identity in what we do. I think we place our identity a lot of the times, young people especially, listen to this, and what other people think about you. And none of those things are real, okay? You've created all those things in your own mind. They're lies. Because who you really are children of God. Everyone in this room is a son and daughter of God, a beloved son and daughter of God. And there's nothing you can do to make God not love you. For he created you, and you are his precious child. And I think sometimes, man, hey, if you're those people that come to church a couple times a year, we're glad you're here. And don't feel guilty about that, okay? I think a lot of times they're like, oh, you should be at church. I think if the church, right, hey, if we were a little more loving, I think maybe these people would come here a little more. But here's more of the point that I want to make is following Jesus is not about following the rules. In fact, I think there's no greater rule breaker than Jesus himself. And that drove the religious people wild because he kept healing people on the Sabbath and he kept doing these things that he wasn't supposed to do. But hear me, church, that following Jesus is about adoption. Following Jesus is about being transformed into a new creation. Jesus was the second man. The old things have passed away. You become a child of God. You become alive through the power of the Holy Spirit that the resurrected Jesus Christ lives inside of you. And he's the one that's your righteousness. He's the one that loves the world. Know who you really are. Know who you really are and how much God loves you. When we know that, we know he's always with us and that all fear passes away. I know there's a lot of hurt in this room this morning, and that hurt is real. And Jesus tells us that in this world, you're gonna have suffering, you're gonna have trials, but be encouraged because I've overcome the world. And that in our trials, he's making us stronger. That there's a purpose to everything. And if you're hurting, just bring that real pain before God this morning. Be real with it. We don't have to be perfect. Bring it before him and say, God, I want you to heal me of my misidentification. I want to know that you're inside of me. I want to hear your voice. And Lord, I am scared of my shadow. I'm scared of what people think about me. I'm scared of messing up. I'm scared of not having enough. I'm scared of being poor and hungry. I'm afraid, God. Show me where you are. Heal me of my fear. And help me to know how much you love me. I pray that that's your genuine prayer this morning. With a song. of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. Well, I'm no longer a slave to fear, for I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me, and your love has called my name. And I've been born again to your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer so I could walk right through it, and my fears are drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing that I am a child of God. You split the sea. You split the sea so I could walk.
Your presence, Lord.
chorus one more time. Holy Spirit, from the depths of your soul, I want you to ask and invite the resurrected King through the power of his Holy Spirit to dwell in your heart and lead you in everything you do in life to the glory of his name. Invite him into your heart this morning. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Oh, come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Child of God,
your presence, Lord.
A child of God.
Amen.
Once again, happy Easter. Man. What? Is it not? Happy Easter. You know, if you are, I mean, I don't want to be make you take offense to this, but if you hadn't been to church in a while and you're here this morning, I just want to tell you that I put in my email every week, Wiley Methodist is not complete without you, and I really mean that. I mean, seeing some faces I hadn't seen in a while blesses me, man, just blesses me. Man, I don't know about you needing me, but I need you. We need one another, the body of Christ. So welcome. If you are our guest this morning, I want to give you a special welcome. I hope you feel the love of Christ's people, and I hope you feel the Holy Spirit in this place. There is a card in the seat pocket in front of you that has a blue stripe, says guest, and would love for you to fill that out. You certainly don't have to do that, but I would like to get to know you. I came around and saw some of you, met some of you before church, but I'll be out in this end of the foyer and would love to meet with you and get to know you a little bit better and have a free gift also for our guests. Also, at the end of the service, many of you, and there's an insert in the bulletin, many of you that gave an Easter lily. Aren't those beautiful? I love Easter lilies. If you gave one of those in honor or memory of someone, please feel free to take those with you when you leave today. Matthew 28 is where we are, if you'll turn with me there. Matthew 28. Now, this pretty familiar account of that Easter morning. We're going to see if we can't grab a few more things from it today. Matthew 28, verse 1. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. And I told the first service, isn't it interesting that live soldiers went to guard a dead man, and then they became dead men, and the dead one became alive. Everything kind of flipped there. Verse 5, the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. This is my favorite line of the whole passage. He's not here. He has risen just as he said. Did you know God is true to his promises? Jesus doesn't promise things he doesn't deliver. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we have invited you. Indeed, you are with us. Holy Spirit, would you speak in power and authority? It's the only way you know to speak. Speak in power and authority and transform our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So setting the stage, I mean, we all kind of know, but I want us to kind of put ourselves there, this stage that's set for this passage. Jesus, who all the disciples and Mary Magdalene and the other women, they had seen him as this Savior. And even though Jesus had been telling them over and over what was going to happen when they entered Jerusalem and what was going to be accomplished, they were consumed with what happened on Friday. I think somebody told me in the early service, Tony Campolo, I remember, preached a sermon years ago, Friday's here, but Sunday's on the way, something to that effect. But they were caught up in Friday. They were going to anoint this body, this dead body, this person who had claimed to be the Savior. So they were still in that mode. And there was, can you imagine just the fear and uncertainty of the future? Anybody ever been stuck on Friday? Things going on in their life that they're consumed with and lost, feeling lost and afraid. Today's message is Easter in uncertain times. Easter in uncertain times. Now, y'all probably get tired. I get tired talking about it, to be quite honest. But you probably get tired of me hearing about the uncertainty and the lostness and the brokenness of our world and our culture and our nation. These are unprecedented times. They're serious times. The Lord laid on my heart several months ago. These are serious times, looking for serious people to step up and number one to pray. But just some of the things we're facing. I mean, this is just a snippet. But struggling economy. Every time we go to the grocery store, things are more expensive than they were the last time we went. I mean, dramatically. It's not like a penny or two. Dramatically higher. Gas is higher consumer prices across the board. A $30 trillion and counting national debt. High taxes, unemployment, divorce, corruption. I mean, corruption everywhere. And I was telling the early service, and I've said this before, and I'm not talking about people, that I don't trust people, but institutions. Name me an institution that we trust. I mean, if it's basically, if people's lips, are you watching on TV, if their lips are moving, you're not sure you can trust them. The media, the government, on and on. It's a sad day, but I know we've got people in law enforcement in our time, and we have a great police department here in town. But nationally, I mean, it's like, can't trust the IRS, can't trust the FBI. We just can't trust. There's corruption everywhere. Ukraine, COVID, pandemic. I didn't even know what pandemic meant. Did anybody else? Was anybody else have to Google that? What's a pandemic? I don't know what a pandemic is. We all know now. Vaccines, masks, and the battle that comes with all of that stuff. Illness, suicide is running rampant in our, not only in our nation, but in our community. Is this on? It's running rampant in our community, and it's a spirit of suicide, illness, death, all of these things that we are facing in the uncertainness of these times, the uncertainness of the world that we live in. Now I'm going to say a statement. If you don't hear anything else I say the rest of the day, listen to this. Easter renders all those things powerless. Easter renders all those things powerless. We can get so caught up and so absorbed in Friday and miss Sunday. Miss what Jesus did on that Sunday morning. So we're just going to unpack this scripture a little bit more today and see maybe how it might apply more to our lives. First of all, through the resurrection, death has been defeated. Now you've probably heard that. It's throughout scripture. This passage, he is not here, the angel said, he's risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he laid. And in 1 Corinthians, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Now, if I know we got some pastors, retired pastors in the room, and I know you're going to be able to relate to this, but I've said this before, but sometimes I do a lot of funerals, some from our church, and sometimes a funeral director will call me, hey, this family doesn't have a pastor, would you do their service? And I can tell the instant I walk into the room if this family knows Jesus. David? You can tell it the instant you walk in the room. You don't have to ask any questions. You don't have to. You know that because we all grieve, but Scripture tells us that when we have Christ, we don't grieve as those with no hope. And grief without hope is awful. I mean, it's an awful thing. It's so much worse than grief that has hope attached. And I say this all the time, but hope has a name. His name is Jesus. Through the resurrection, death has been defeated. If no matter what the future holds, Christ has overcome death itself. That's the last great enemy that we have. That's the one thing that none of us are going to get out of. That's another thing that I say sometimes at funerals, is that we spend our life pursuing stuff. Pursuing stuff, pursuing popularity, pursuing, excelling in a career, money, bigger houses, bigger car, faster car, whatever. We're pursuing this stuff. And I tell people sometimes when there's a casket there and your loved one is in that casket, that's over. It's done. That pursuit is worthless. We've spent our whole life pursuing stuff that at the end means nothing. Death has been defeated through the resurrection, through Christ, through the empty tomb. Romans 8 says it this way, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. We have been set free from the law of sin and death through Jesus Christ. Death has no hold on us. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Secondly, through the resurrection, Jesus empowers us to overcome our fears. I love that song that we just sang, Cody led us with, I'm no longer a slave to fear. Jesus empowers us to overcome our fears. The angel said, and then Jesus repeated it, do not be afraid. It said that the ladies were afraid because they were wondering what had happened. They were afraid yet filled with joy. Something underneath there, they understood that, hey, I'm not quite sure what's going on here, but the tomb was empty. The tomb was empty. You know, I read this article a few years ago, and I've shared it with you, but it still amazes me, staggers me. I read this article about there is a finger bone of Buddha that was traveling on a tour through the United States a few years ago. And people from all over were coming to see this finger bone of Buddha. Guess what? There is no tour of Jesus' finger bone, because the tomb was empty. We serve a living God. And you talk about something being different when we place our faith in this living God rather than a finger bone, That sounds almost like a bad joke, but that's the truth. I wish I had clipped that article. Jesus empowers us to overcome our fears. Romans 8 again, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. So, all right, let's unpack that one for just a second. The Spirit, big S, the Holy Spirit, if He lives in you, He's the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. So, here we have Jesus. He's in the tomb. He's taken down off the cross, lifeless, put in this tomb. The women are coming to anoint His dead body, and the tomb is empty. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, through that power, resurrected Jesus. And what Scripture tells us is that Spirit that resurrected Jesus lives in us. Holy cow! That's a translation. It's in there. Holy cow, that changes everything. If we believe that, if it's real, if the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead lives in us, what are we capable of? You think we can't overcome COVID? You think we can't overcome a bad economy, corrupt politicians? You think we can't overcome that stuff? We have the Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead living in us. Come on. What Jesus is basically saying, I have the power over life and death. I have the power over any challenge you face. I have the power. No pandemic can separate you from my love. No health or financial problem can separate you from my presence. No divorce, no failed business, no sin can separate you from my mercy. The tomb is empty. The same power that rose Jesus from the dead lives in us. That's good news. You struggling with something in your life? You struggling with your marriage? You struggling with people don't like you, they're mad at you? Family, somebody's not getting along? The Spirit of God lives in us. Thirdly, through the resurrection, Jesus imparts a mission to us. In the first service, I did this a few years ago. Anybody here that got their ticket to heaven? Raise your hand if you got a ticket to heaven a few years ago. Some of you are embarrassed that you got your ticket to heaven. As a sarcastic thing, I printed up tickets to heaven, and it's like, God doesn't save us just so we'll get our ticket to heaven and put it in our wallet. And guess what? The early service, two people had it in their wallet. And that was probably 8-10 years ago I did that. You're a little worn around the edges. But they don't keep it for that reason. But we're not saved so that we get our ticket to heaven. We have a mission. God's given us a mission. There was any resemblance to this to me and my brother is totally false and fabricated, but There was a 10-year-old boy, and he got a new baseball glove and a new baseball. And when I was a kid, I liked to throw the ball up on the roof. Anybody ever throw the ball on the roof? And you're too short to see where it's coming, and you're kind of waiting, and then you're diving, you know, thinking you're Willie Mays or something. But I'd throw mine on the roof. This little boy was throwing it against the brick wall. And he had a little brother. So he's 10. He had a little brother that's 6. His little brother's watching him. And the big brother, he's throwing that ball, and crash, he breaks a window. And he knows little brother can't keep a secret. So he goes to little brother, and he says, I'll give you my new baseball if you don't tell. He said, I don't want your baseball. He said, all right, I'll give you my new baseball, and I'll give you my new glove if you don't tell. He said, I don't want your baseball, and I don't want your baseball glove. And he said, for goodness sake, what do you want? I want to tell. I'm a little brother, and I'm digging that story, man. I like that story. So, I wish we all had the heart of that little boy. I don't want anything. I just want to tell. You know, I don't know about you. That's between you and the Lord. But what the Lord has done for me is worth sharing. I have something to tell. What he's done for me. Go and tell my brothers. Jesus immediately gives them a mission. And then I love this passage with, we know that Peter denies knowing Jesus three times, and can you imagine the shame that he felt? And then Jesus is resurrected, and Peter gets word that the tomb was empty, that Jesus is alive. And I'm telling you, it's not in the Bible, but I'm certain that Peter went, uh-oh. Can't you imagine that he's wondering, what is he going to do with me? He looked me in the eye. Our eyes met when I said, I don't know the man. And the way Jesus received him, he said, peace be with you. And he embraced Peter. And they're on the shore after Jesus is resurrected, and they're having breakfast, and three times Jesus asked him if he loved him. This third time in John 21:17, the third time Jesus said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Now here's what I told the first service, and I believe this, I see this in the global church. We have shifted that to say, do you love my sheep? Now stay with me here. We've turned the gospel into a social gospel. Now, it's a good thing that we go and we dig wells for people and we feed the hungry and we build homes and all the things that we do. But Jesus didn't say, do you love my sheep? He said, do you love me? That'll lead to loving my sheep. And we flipped that. We flipped that with the social gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is Jesus. Jesus changed lives. I tell people this all the time. It's like, I'm not the changer of hearts. Only Jesus does that. And that's the message that we have. When we pass out turkeys to the Carver neighborhood, when we go to the food pantry and feed, when we build homes for people, when we do all these things, I tell people, it's like, we're not here to give turkeys. We're here to show the love of Jesus. That's the gospel. Do you love me, Jesus says? Then do this. That's your mission. That's how you show it. That's how you demonstrate it. The Great Commission. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. So he's saying, I have all this authority. I have all this power. And I am transferring it to you through my Spirit. Now go and make disciples. Jesus imparts a mission to us. He doesn't call us to just take our ticket to heaven, put it in our wallet, and be consumers. And I've asked this before. Are we consumers or are we servants? Is this on? Anybody listening? Are we consumers or are we servants? It's so easy to slip into the consumer mode. Fourthly, through the resurrection, Jesus promises to be with you and to empower you. And we just talked about that Jesus has all authority, and he has all power, and he's given it to us. Jesus said at the end of the Great Commission, I am with you always. He will be with us. He walks with us as we face these things, as we face the corruption of our day, as we face the broken economy, as we face illness and divorce and unemployment, all the different things that we face, Jesus promises to be with us, and he also promises in Acts chapter 1, as the church is getting ready to be launched through the power of the Holy Spirit, it says, Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. How many beside me need some power? I mean, just sometimes to make it through the day, yes? Sometimes just to make it through the next hour. We need power. as we face these uncertain times, church, we can no longer afford to put our trust in ourselves, in our relationships, in our economy, in our business, in our intellect, in our government, or in anything or anyone else. Our one and only hope is to put our trust completely in this resurrected Jesus. That's the hope that we have. Romans 1:4, love this passage. Jesus was declared with power to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. I hope that we, as we go forward in these uncertain times, I hope we remember those things about the empty tomb. We're going to have an opportunity here to partake in Holy Communion. Many of you were in it, and many of you attended the Living Last Supper drama that we put on Wednesday night and Friday night, those guys did a great job. And I was thinking, you know, as we were preparing for that dramatization, I was thinking that, you know, Jesus, he comes in and he washes the disciples' feet. Did you know he washed Judas's feet? You think he knew Judas, what Judas was going to do? He washed Peter's feet. He knew what he was going to do. He washes their feet, and then he takes the bread and he changes the script that night. It had been that way for thousands of years, the Passover, and he takes the bread and he said, "This is now my body broken for you." And do you think as he was breaking that bread that maybe he flashed forward to the next day, what was going to happen to his body, his physical body? And then he took the cup and he blessed it and he said, "This is now the cup of the new covenant established in my blood." No longer do you need to go and sacrifice this Passover lamb, because Jesus was the new eternal Passover lamb established in his body and his blood. If you'll pray with me. Father, we are humbled at what this meal represents. We're humbled that you love us that much. Make this bread and this cup be for us the body and blood of Jesus. We pray a blessing on it. We thank you for providing this meal to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So in just a moment, I'll give you some instructions about how we're going to do this. But I want to tell you that we have what's called an open table here. It's open, but if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, if you're still seeking that, I would encourage you to not partake. But if you have confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you've repented of your sins, you are welcome to this table. You do not have to be a member of our church or anything like that. So I hope that you will come. But if you are still a seeker, we got some business to take care of there with you in the Lord before you would partake of this meal. So in just a moment, there will be two stations, a station here and a station here, and two stations over here. This is the first time since COVID hit us a couple of years ago that we have gone back to intinction. Intinction being that you will be given a piece of bread and you'll dip the bread into the juice and you'll partake in that manner. We do have in the center aisle here, we have the individual cups. If you're more comfortable receiving the communion in that manner, you can come to this center. If you do take the individual cups, here's what I would recommend. Receive your elements and go ahead and go towards the back and open it and partake back there. And there's trash cans along the back wall so that we don't hold up that line as people are trying to get their elements open. So if you are, we've already served the praise team and the sound team, but if our servers will come forward, we will serve you. As they come forward, if you would just take a moment in your own heart, if you'd bow your heads, and we give you an opportunity to pray your own private prayer of confession in your own heart. So if you'll just bow your heads and pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, church, you are forgiven. Amen. Christ our Lord has invited you to his table. You also, if you do not want to partake, that's your right, and that's fine. If you do not want to, I hope you feel welcome to do that. Again, two stations here, two stations here. We'll dip the bread into the juice, and then the individuals are here. Come.
Once was ground. has paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. My sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Chorus, oh praise the one. We sing as redeemed people who have been cleansed. Our sins are washed white as snow. Let's sing with all we are and tell them we love him, how great he is.
And oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised his life up from the dead.
One word in this passage, Matthew 28:6. He is here.
Yes.
He has risen just as he said.
Amen.
We serve a living God. You don't have to go check out the finger bone anywhere. It's okay. He lives inside of us. We have good news to tell the world.
Amen.
So go and tell someone. We're dismissed. God bless you. Happy Easter.
If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.